Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 93. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest Adrian Ramo, coordinator of The Minimalists in Columbus, Ohio. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. Adrian is an integrative and functional dietitian with a private practice in Columbus, Ohio, with extended service to clients outside the state and country. She has received her degrees from The Ohio State University and additional certification from Columbia University, Cornell University, and the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. Since 2006, Adrian has been delivering nutritional lectures, teaching cooking classes, providing individual nutrition consultations, as well as corporate wellness and medical lectures. Adrian specializes in integrative endocrinology, neurology, and gastroenterology to assist individuals with a wide range of health issues, as well as those seeking to achieve a higher level of wellness. As an integrative and functional nutritionist, she focuses on prevention, views each client in a holistic manner, educates clients in the steps to achieve and maintain health, seeks the cause of the illness and its symptoms, and utilizes nutrition and lifestyle modifications to support the body's ability to heal. Adrian uses her passion for the art and science of clinical nutrition, herbal medicine, whole food nutrition, and lifestyle changes to tailor dynamic nutrition programs for her clients, with a focus on plant-based whole foods diets as the foundation of good health. From cellular disease and diabetes to prenatal nutrition and weight management. Her website, onebitewellness.com, is a source for accurate, reliable nutrition information presented in an effective manner in order to help clients successfully incorporate that information into their lives. Clients' goals are of the utmost importance, whether it be ameliorating a health condition, for example, diabetes, Parkinson's, rheumatoid arthritis, learning how to bring healthier foods into one's life, or conquering sugar addiction. Common challenges and areas of concern include fatigue, skin concerns, weight management, peak performance, digestive issues, nutritional confusion, food addiction education, natural energy enhancement, emotional eating, and eating disorders. By providing nutritional education and support with an integrative philosophy, One Bite Wellness guides people to find the food and lifestyle choices that best support them in building a lifelong firm foundation of health. Adrian seems to be the ideal coordinator of a group of minimalists. TheMinimalists.com, Joshua Fields Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus help over 20 million people live meaningful lives with less through their website, books, tours, podcasts, groups, and documentary. They say, minimalists don't focus on having less, less, less. Rather, we focus on making more room for more. More time, more passion, more experiences, more growth, more contribution, more contentment, more freedom. Clearing the clutter from life's path helps us to make that room. Minimalism is the thing that gets us past the things so we can make room for life's important things, which aren't actually things at all. Writer Joshua Becker of BecomingMinimalist.com inspires others to live more by owning less. Best-selling author of The More of Less, he has hundreds of thousands of regular readers to his blog. Becoming a Minimalist is designed to inspire others to pursue their greatest passions by owning fewer possessions. He leads online courses on uncluttering, and he stresses philanthropy. Here's Adrian, recently recorded.
You are the coordinator for The Minimalists, Columbus, Ohio. So tell us a little bit about how that group started and what a typical agenda might be for a meeting.
Okay, well, our group started when The Minimalists reached out to people in various cities asking for people to apply to become the minimalist leader of their city. And I thought it would be a really great opportunity to really kind of create a community around minimalism and just more intentional living. And so what we do at our meetings is they usually will last about an hour to 90 minutes. And we usually go through and introduce new members and introduce ourselves, go through any sort of successes that people might have had since last time in keeping with some of their goals. And then we usually choose one to two topics of conversation, whether it's about finances and minimalism or health. And then we create some goals. Some members of the group will create goals between now and our next meeting. So it's pretty fun, too.
The two fellows who are the head of the Minimalists have produced documentaries. They have a great following on the internet. And, of course, they have regular podcasts, which I'm pleased to promote. Do you have regular contact with the two leaders of the National Minimalist Group, or are you pretty much self-contained?
Oh, well, they will come into town occasionally. So even next month, they'll be back in town. And then they've put on a minimalist movie at Lenox, for example. And so I would say we have contact with them, especially the community leaders. We usually get on phone calls with them, and that's about monthly, too. So there's some contact, whether it's in person or via the phone.
Now, there's other minimalist groups, for example, Joshua Becker, who has the podcast or the website Becoming Minimalist, has a great following and offers some courses. Are any of the members of your group taking any minimalist courses, either through traditional books or online?
Some people have taken the Joshua Becker's course, and then others are generally in Facebook groups that might focus on minimalism. I'm not sure that they're courses necessarily, but they might have challenges. And then recently, Jake, one of our members, is promoting the Northwest Earth Institute's course being offered through Simply Living. So some people are signing up for that as well. So it kind of varies, I would say, in terms of, you know, what other resources people use.
Well, I had the pleasure of interviewing the Director of Education for Northwest Earth Institute a month ago to talk about their new course. And you mentioned the group Simply Living. Now, I've known folks through Simply Living in Columbus, Ohio for almost 20 years. And so
wow.
I'm glad to hear that that group is still going. So you do have some crossover, some ties with the Simply Living group there?
Oh, yeah, I would say so.
And do you ever have joint meetings or joint ventures of any kind?
We haven't put together any joint ventures, or, but that would definitely be something worth looking into.
You meet, I would assume, once a month, and you make goals. Do you then hold each other accountable, and how do you do that?
Yes, some members of the group will decide that they want to get rid of some moving boxes from the attic before our next meeting, or to deal with the children's playroom. And so what we do during the next meeting is just kind of check in with everybody and see how it went. And some people might require additional support, or they will come up to an obstacle in their minimizing or decluttering. And so the group kind of steps in and says, okay, well, here's some of the things that worked for me. Maybe they will work for you as well. So there's some support there, too, to help people make these changes. It's not always easy.
Well, now, you're talking a lot about uncluttering, and uncluttering is a very popular topic among minimalists, but simple living, at least, is a lot deeper than the superficial things like clutter. Are you able to get into social justice issues as well?
We can. The topics, of course, can range wildly. Sometimes we'll talk about healthcare or, you know, financial health, essentially, and minimalism and how all these things work together. We talk about family, holidays, and even just, you know, some of the other things that come in, like relationships and how to deal with people who might be giving you too much clutter, or living with a partner who is not on the same track of minimalism. So I would say it runs the gamut of different things in life. I mean, everything is impacted by this.
Well, now the leaders, like Joshua Becker, have focused sometimes on humanitarian causes. For example, living more simply so that we have more to share with other people. I think Joshua, for example, has promoted an orphanage. Are you able to get into humanitarian issues and promote humanitarian causes in your group?
We can. We haven't picked any particular organizations to lend our efforts to immediately. But I would even say that sometimes what I've done in the past is gone to the Cowspiracy movie that I believe was put on by Assembly Living a few years ago, and just talk about, too, like how diet really does change a lot of how, what we choose personally can impact the industries, too.
Well, that's a very pertinent topic. Cowspiracy, for those folks who haven't seen it yet, of course, is about how the beef industry is not only problematic for our health, but also for the environment. You know, Cowspiracy, it's a clever title. Now, you mentioned health. You are a certified dietitian. So this must be really important to you.
Yeah, as a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and also a health coach, I find that this is one of the areas where, you know, diet is not just an expression of our values, but it's also a means of staying healthy, which is kind of a revolutionary act in a world that is kind of set up to make you fail.
Well, go into more detail. I mean, you are a pro at, you know, diet and nutrition. So give us some more examples.
Well, I think that the environment is set up to make us fail in the sense that, for example, the USDA has two main goals, one of which is to subsidize farmers for things like corn and wheat, soy and sugar. And then also their other goal is to create standards for human health. So our food pyramids and our My Plates and all of that probably is influenced by their other goal. So my goal in all of this is really just to tell people the truth about nutrition as I see it. And I have that type of freedom in private practice versus being part of an organization where I have pre-printed handouts that I have to give clients. And so I find it very freeing to be able to help people to create their own best health through a diet that works well for them. And everybody's diet is different based on what their age is, their activity level, and what foods work best for their bodies too.
Well, here's your chance, Adrienne, to tell us what your philosophy of diet and healthy eating is.
Keeping it simple, really. So, like Michael Pollan will say, you know, if your great grandmother couldn't pronounce it, we probably shouldn't be eating it. I personally adhere to and promote more of a whole foods plant-based diet for people, as part of just healthy eating, and then also as a way to support the environment and not harm other creatures.
Well, now you have a website, and that you share recipes and those kinds of things. So tell us a little bit more about your website and what you're trying to accomplish. What, first of all, what is the address?
One Bite Wellness. It's onebitewellness.com. And basically what I put on the blog and in the newsletter are nutrition articles, lifestyle tips, and also whole foods plant-based recipes to really give people some good resources to turn to. And really it works part of the goal too of creating education around what healthy eating can look like and how to be more plant-based in today's world too, and in a healthy way, because a lot of people will say, oh, I'm vegan, but they may not necessarily be the healthiest form of vegan. And so again, going back to plant-based education, and really making sure that people are getting what they need nutritionally is really important to me.
And I assume that services on your website are free of charge and that people can either go there anytime. Do you also have a newsletter they can sign up for?
Yeah, the newsletter is going to show up on the right-hand side of the page when people log on to the website, and they will get the newsletter sent to them. I would say it's usually about 3 times a month that I send things out. And it will also have events. So when I'm teaching a detox your beauty products or blast belly fat, all of that is also offered in the newsletter too, to just kind of help people take the actions that align with the knowledge that they've accumulated.
Now, are these webinars, are these things that people can take online, or are these strictly local?
I would say probably 50-50. 50% are local, and then I also have some challenges on the website. So usually once every, I would say, 3 to 4 months, I do a sugar detox challenge. And so people would, they would sign up for that, and then we would do teleseminars usually once a week, and then they have their own personal time to call in to me. So there's support and accountability in making these changes too. And a couple of those are different types of webinars too. I have a caffeine detox and a grain-free detox as well.
Are there charges for these webinars?
Yeah, and they vary, and the in-person or local ones vary in terms of pricing too. But they should all be listed on the website.
I taught a course at our local community college way back when. And from that, we developed what we call a simplicity circle. That would be an old version of sort of what you're doing now. But I'll be honest with you, we had trouble maintaining interest. And so it only lasted several meetings. What are you doing to maintain interest? How are you keeping your momentum of your local minimalist group going?
I believe that we're kind of riding the wave that's been hitting other parts of the country. So the interest in minimalism, I think, is growing. I'm not really too concerned about creating more and more growth right now because where we are with our members, we don't necessarily feel like there's going to be a whole lot of value in having 30 people around a table when you can't really have conversations that are with everyone there. But we are looking into creating some satellite groups in Columbus too, so that there might be a Northwest minimalist group and then maybe an East Side minimalist group too, because we want people who maybe can't make the meeting because they like to ride their bike or they don't have a car. And so offering a couple of other locations, I think, would help too. We might consider webinars in the future, but there's a value in meeting people in person as well.
Indeed. Now, I assume that since the Ohio University is there in Columbus, that you have some university students involved.
We don't have that many, actually. Well, we did have a PhD, and we have some people who work for OSU who come to the meetings, but I would say not as many students as we would think. And maybe they have their own version of this on campus. I'm not really sure. I don't think so, but it's hard to say. I don't really know.
There are a lot of changes going on in our country right now, especially with a significant change in the administration in D.C. Are those changes, those impending changes, having any impact on your group as far as how they are looking toward their futures, how they are making plans for their families?
I think in general, people are trying to be financially savvy, maybe learning to grow their own food, and then also taking control of their health the best that they can, not knowing, you know, what healthcare will look like in the future. And these small things, even though, you know, we're just focusing on the individual making the best choices they can, do have a ripple effect. And I feel like it gives people a little bit more control in a world in which we don't have a whole lot of control. So.
Well, now you mentioned in an email, Adrian, that this was a diverse group. There were different diverse opinions in this group. Does this lend itself to political conflict, or does it lend itself toward people watching what they say?
I don't feel like there's a whole lot of political conflict within the group. In fact, I feel like most people are very just respectful of others' opinions and generally supportive. And if not, then more questioning and having people explain where they're coming from. So I feel it's not very divisive at all. All of our meetings have been very warm and supportive so far, and I hope to keep it that way.
Well, now my son, who just turned 40, has two children and with our daughter-in-law. And they recently, since the election, have started to make some changes in their family life. We six adults have meetings, family meetings, every couple of months to support each other and to plan for our future. One thing they did is they bought an all-electric car because they anticipate that gas prices will go up significantly. Are there other ideas that you could share with us of what people are doing in your group to prepare for possible changes in the future, besides the one you've mentioned about healthcare and diet?
I would say that hasn't really been a focus. Nobody's really mentioned buying electric cars or substantially changing the way that they live in that sense. I would say there's probably a little bit more of an interest in just gardening and eating better in general, making sure that their finances are under control as much as possible and that they're getting out of debt. And I'd say those are the main things that we've talked about.
Very good. Well, in this last election, of course, Ohio became officially a red state. And, you know, before that, Ohio was considered to be a swing state. I get the feeling that the people in your group just aren't particularly really concerned about the change of status, the change of administration, the change of the way the state of Ohio is functioning.
I wouldn't say that that's the case, but it's not also the main focus of our meetings.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us? I really appreciate talking to a young adult like yourself, because, you know, I come from the previous generation where we called ourselves simple livers in the voluntary simplicity movement. And I see a lot of similarities between the voluntary simplicity movement and the minimalists. But I also see some differences. Have you noticed any differences between, even though the goals of both movements are pretty much alike?
I would say I haven't been involved with simply living enough to be able to truly comment on that more. But I would say that we do seem to share similar values and really just focusing on doing the best that we can in this world and trying to be a ripple effect for the rest of the world in the best way possible.
My organization, Simple Living Works, has been around in some form since 1973. And ours is a faith-based group. That is, that we take religion or spirituality into consideration in our resources and in our activities. Would you consider the minimalists or your group a faith-based group, or is it strictly a secular group?
I would say it's secular. People come in from various faith backgrounds or secular, I would say, and everybody's accepted there. So if we talk about spirituality, it's in what it means to each individual. And so I would say that that's probably the best way to characterize our group.
So the group is open to spirituality, but it doesn't have a particular spiritual base. And that's very good. Because, I mean, in our group, we didn't keep anybody out either. It wasn't an exclusive club or anything like that. But like I say, we just took spirituality into consideration in our meetings and in our resources.
Yeah, I think it's an important part of life, regardless of faith background. To feed your spirit, to be inspired, is really integral to being a whole human being, in my opinion.
Anything else you'd like to share with us, Adrian, about your group, about your nutrition practice?
If anybody wants to learn more about minimalism, I think that checking out all sorts of different resources can be really helpful. And whether it's engaging in a class or an in-person meeting or doing a webinar or even a course through another organization, every little step really does add up in our lives, and we can have a drastically different outcome, even health-wise, by just making one small change. A year or 10 years down the road, you might be surprised by how everything has changed. So thank you very much for having me on today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I appreciate talking to you, and I wish you and your group well.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to my conversation with Adrian Ramo, coordinator of the Minimalists, Columbus, Ohio. In addition to theminimalist.com and becomingminimalist.com, Simple Living Works site previews numerous other Simple Living websites and blogs. See the link in the show notes. Simple Living Works Weekly Digest lists current posts from over 24 worthwhile sites. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, click window number 3. Also, it really helps our visibility when you give Simple Living Works a 5-star review on iTunes. My colleague Lee Van Ham's new book has been released. Lee's the executive director of Jubilee One Earth Economics. Entitled From Egos to Eden, Our Heroic Journey to Keep Earth Livable, it is volume 2 of Lee's trilogy called Eden for the 21st Century. I have read an advanced copy, reviewed it, and highly recommend it. Lee and I talked about volume 1 called Blinded by Progress and volume 2 on podcast. The link to those episodes are given in the show notes. We've started a new series in 2017 called Simpler Living Sanity Suggestions. Amid all the changes in our country, we'll offer a new suggestion each week, not as a placebo, but as encouragement to do something for yourself, your family, community, that may counteract any negative stuff that may be coming or happening now. The suggestions are given in the weekly nudge. The weekly nudge and our weekly digest together make up the Simple Living Works blog. Also, a link to all the sanity suggestions is given in the show notes. I post an occasional blog called Simple Living Works Extra, which contains an item a bit longer than those in my regular weekly posts, sort of reminiscent of my personal blogs before mid-2015. I started a little campaign recently as a response to regressive policies in D.C. and many of the states called I Buy Blue, How About You? Click the link in the show notes or subscribe to the Simple Living Works blog. Simply send us an email headed subscribe blog, then confirm your subscription when a confirmation email arrives. I've started a short series called Banishing Fake News. You can read each little installment in the Simple Living Works blog or read most of it on the Simple Living Works site. See the link in the show notes. I hope these new short features add positively to the national conversation about social change and support the voluntary simplicity movement. After reading them, your comments are welcome. Need a nudge? I've been producing today's Simpler Living Nudge for over a year and welcome you to subscribe for free. Receive it by email or Twitter. Just send me an email with the subject nudge at simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. I've received lots of interesting responses, which you can read on simplelivingworks.org. Click on Recent Comments in window number 5, or see the link in the show notes. We've simplified our blogs for this year. The Weekly Nudge focuses only on the efforts of Simple Living Works. The Weekly Digest includes the latest posts from colleague organizations. Both come with a free subscription to our Simple Living Works blog. The much more complete, almost obsessively detailed monthly digest is now updated at least once a week and kept on the Simple Living Works site. Links to the monthly digest are given in both the weekly nudge and the weekly digest. We hope you'll check it out, but we don't want you to be overwhelmed by the amount of help available toward a life of voluntary simplicity, which young adults now are inclined to call minimalism. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscription to this podcast and to our weekly blogs are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We do not accept or solicit donations, nor do we sell anything. All of our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive way of life. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everybody's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, "Live simply that others may simply live," as our closing theme song proclaims. It's a balance of personal responsibility and advocacy for just public policy. It's more than personal happiness, though that's quite important. As you may sense, we put a strong emphasis on social justice. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Come everyone who has thirst, those who have nothing come by. Why spend your labor for things that simply do not satisfy? Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. The bread in your cupboard belongs to one who is hungry out there, and the coats in your closet unused could warm up the ones who stand bare. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. See how the wealth you acquire is borne on the backs of the poor, whose children beg daily for food, whose land feeds your child who wants more. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Your children who need their own rooms lament that the forest will die, and those who would join field to field must must stop long enough to ask why. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. God chose the weak of the world to shame the way of the strong. Learn how to live from the poor. Their wisdom will help us belong. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need, awakening what God has in store. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.